Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Elcordi, and you're listening to Public Advocate Radio. Due to censorship, I am grabbing videos as fast as I can that are super-duper worth your listen in regard to COVID-19. This one I tried to record the other day as I was recording another one, waiting to record this one. It disappeared off Facebook. I did find another version, thanks to Natural News, through YouTube, and it has over 3 million views, and certainly this too will disappear. Could not be more important. Thank you to Dr. Richard Bartlett and Debbie of America Can We Talk. They're in Texas, and I'm going to play this for you right now. There are other recordings I may add after this one, but for now, I can't wait. I'm going to record this one. Okay, thank you very much. You're listening to Dr. Richard Bartlett and Debbie George something, but you'll see in the video beneath, and I will write her name down so that she is credited with this very important interview. Debbie Georgetos of America Can We Talk, interview of July 2nd, 2020 with Dr. Richard Bartlett on America Can We Talk. Okay, here we go. Oh dear, this is the end of it. Hold on, I'm trying to finish it so we can start afresh. And here we go.
So I mentioned at the start of the show, we have a guest joining us. This is kind of a funny thing. I'll just tell you a true story. So last night, there was a political event. I moderated a panel that was speaking at a political event. And afterward, I met someone who attended the event, is a doctor here in Texas, and not in Dallas, in Midland, Texas. And he has been working also dealing with COVID-19 patients, coronavirus patients. The article that's up again on our website, AmericaCanWeTalk.org, an article about him is called "Local Doctor Believes He Has Found Silver Bullet for COVID-19. We had a great conversation after the meeting last night, and on the spot I said, why don't you come into my show tomorrow? And gratefully, he was available. So here you have, we have joining us in studio, our new friend, Dr. Richard Bartlett. Hello, sir.
Debbie, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
I'm grateful you could be here, and I would love to just have you dive right in. Since I don't really know you, have you start with telling our listeners about your medical background.
Well, I've been practicing in Texas for 28 years. When Governor Perry started a new task force called the Health Disparities Task Force, he asked me to be on that task force. And the purpose was to give him advice so that all Texans can have access to quality health care. And that was a two-year appointment. After 2 years, he asked me, would you stay on one more year? And so that happened year after year for a total of 7 years. And a lot of good things happened. But I also have been the medical expert for CBS affiliate in West Texas for over 20 years. And I do a regular weekly update on COVID on the Talk 550 AM talk radio in West Texas, and we've been doing that since the beginning of this drama.
Wow, okay.
And so I'm also an author and do medical missions in other countries. And so I've seen a lot of disaster all over the world. But I want to say, echo everything you said in your first 5 minutes. I agree 100%. We already have an answer for this. And to put things in perspective, let's look around the world. You know, in the country of Taiwan, there's over 25 million people. They're stacked on top of each other. If they did social distancing, they'd be out in the ocean floating around.
Yeah.
There's not enough room for them to do social distancing. But guess how many people have died to date during the whole pandemic in Taiwan? Seven. As many people as you can stack in a minivan going down Central Expressway. And so the next time your viewers see a minivan, think, oh, that's how many people have died in a country of 24 million people. Now I'm going to tell you, yes, and I'm going to tell you why that's the situation. It's the situation also in Japan. 121 million people in Japan. They've had less than 1,000 people die during the whole pandemic. Singapore, only 12 people have died in the whole country during the whole pandemic. Iceland, well, that's not possible according to what we're being told in the mainstream media. but that's reality. Anyone can look it up. You can even look at the Johns Hopkins COVID website, and you'll see those numbers. They're hidden in there, but I'm pointing them out because the people in Texas need to hear good news. In Dallas, they need to hear good news, and I have good news.
I'm sure you do. Before I'm blown away by those numbers. I gave up trying to write them down, but you're going to tell us somehow eventually where we get to this point that in these other countries
they're doing what I'm doing, Debbie.
Okay.
They're doing what I'm doing, which is not hydroxychloroquine, although that works. And so what they're doing is an inhaled steroid. And so my silver bullet is inhaled budesonide. The brand name originally was Pulmicort. Now it's generic. It's super cheap. It's about $200 for the total treatment if you pay cash. With insurance, many of my patients are not even having to pay for it. And you use a nebulizer machine. It's an asthma medicine. It's a respiratory anti-inflammatory for COVID, which is a respiratory inflammatory disease. And it works. 100% of my patients are alive. I've been treating this since March. And you use it for 5 minutes. So it takes 5 minutes to do a breathing treatment. You plug it in the machine in the wall. You put the medicine that's pre-mixed, pre-measured from the pharmacy into the little reservoir. You push the on button and you breathe it during 5 minutes.
You just put a mask in
your
face and
you don't even have to have a mask. You can use a little mouthpiece that you hold in front of you.
Okay.
And you breathe it for 5 minutes. And I have, let me tell you what I've heard from patients when I started using this. They tell me, I feel better during the first treatment. And so their chest pain goes away. Their shortness of breath goes away. Their fever breaks. I'll give you an example. I have a patient who has two kinds of cancer. She calls me after 5 days of being flat on her back in her house, in the bed, can't get out of bed, fever won't break for 5 days. She says, I heard you on the radio, and would you please help me? It's on a Friday. She says, my granddaughter tested positive today, and I think I have it. And I said, I'm sure you do with all the symptoms you're describing. She is currently fighting two forms of lymphoma. Mm-hmm. She's on chemotherapy right now. She just had radiation a month before for the lymphoma. She should die, according to what you hear from the CDC and World Health Organization. But I gave her that treatment that night. In the morning, her fever had broke. She had her first good night's sleep. Over the weekend, she recovers. On Monday, she works an eight-hour day. She still is fighting cancer, two forms of cancer, but she's cured of COVID. She's symptom-free. She has her two consecutive negative tests. That's a cure.
Okay. Can you say the name of the drug again?
Budesonide.
Budesonide. And so is it done in an inhaler?
It's an inhaler. And so it does actually come as an inhaler, but I'm using it in a nebulizer machine. You know, you see preschool kids use this. It's safe, but it's so safe. It's been out for over 20 years. It's been used on two-pound premature babies safely without batting an eye. And the fragile elderly in nursing homes, for over 20 years, there's no reservations with it. It doesn't cause any cardiac risk, like the accusation of hydroxychloroquine as a risk of heart trouble, although that's ridiculous to make that accusation. This one doesn't even have that risk. And so I give that and an antibiotic to protect from secondary bacterial pneumonia. But let's talk about what COVID is. It's a respiratory virus that goes into the lungs, binds to ACE receptors in the lungs, and that triggers the release of inflammatory chemicals, and we call it a cytokine storm. That's a fancy word for inflammatory chemicals and enzymes that are released in the total body. And so with COVID, we have a killer that's never been around before. It is killing some people if they're not treated. And so for 50% of the people, they get it, and they don't even know they had it. 50% of the people don't even know. But for the 20% that are at risk, there are treatments. We already have an answer. Let me tell you, you're right. Taiwan, 24 million people, they don't need to wait for a vaccine. They don't have a problem that you should vaccinate 24 million people for. They only had 7 die during the whole pandemic. We have some treatment plans and options that are already valid and working.
Okay. It is great news. As you said before we went on, great, great news. So you've been using this since early March. Roughly speaking, how many patients do you think you've treated?
I'm getting calls every day. I have five new patients today, and so I haven't even tallied the numbers. But every one of them is living, not dying. I'll give you another example. An elderly lady who has a 50-year history of smoking, and she had her chest cracked and had 4-vessel bypass surgery. She's on medicine for high blood pressure and thyroid disease. She calls me after 5 days of fever and shortness of breath and chest pain. She feels like she can barely get across the room. I start her on the treatment. With the first treatment, she tells me again something I've never heard with this medicine until COVID-19. She says, I feel better during the first treatment. And she's cured with two double negatives after the fact. She's so grateful. But with this medicine that's been out for over 20 years, there's lots of research on it. It's safe. Big Pharma's not going to make a dime off it. Nobody's going to make any money. It's $200 for the total treatment versus the experimental antiviral that you have to be put in the hospital and then be a part of an experiment to get that costs over $3,100 just for the medicine. And then you pay $15,000 at least to be in the hospital during that time,
sure.
Unless you go to the ICU, and then you'll get $30,000 or $40,000 bill on top of being sick.
So this is a medication you prescribed before COVID ever came along for patients for asthma?
For asthma prevention. You know, there's 25 million people in America that have asthma. And so this medicine is used routinely for over 20 years to prevent asthma attacks. It's the first line preventive measure to protect people from having an asthma attack is an inhaled steroid. And so that's what they're doing in Japan. That's what they're doing in Taiwan. That's what they're doing in Singapore.
So even healthy people over there.
Yes. So with COVID, they're treating with inhaled steroids if they get COVID. So, you know, for the 50% of the people who are going to get it and never have symptoms, they don't need medicine. They certainly don't need a vaccine. But for the 20% that are at risk of death if they don't get treated, we have an answer. And here's what we need to do. Early treatment, early testing, early treatment. We need to detect it early. For every disease, Debbie, America has the best healthcare system. And we do early detection and early treatment for cancer, for heart disease, for stroke, for all kinds of infections. But this is crazy that we're doing what communist China is doing, and we're parroting that through the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
And then the World Health Organization is praising what China did. And so Italy follows suit. And look what Italy, over 30,000 people died in Italy so far versus 7 in a country that people are stacked on top of each other, 24 million. And so I'm telling you, they came upon the same solution that I came upon independently. I started treating this in March, and it works.
Okay, I know you've used it before, which is great. So when you realized that COVID-19 was having such a disastrous thing in America, did you read someone else who advised you to try this? This is you realize
so
this might work.
I was in March. I was working a 48-hour shift in the emergency room, and I was distraught. Quite honestly, I was distraught. I'm a Christian, and so I was praying throughout that 48-hour shift. I'd see patient after patient, and I was thinking, God, what am I going to do if someone comes in here with COVID and they're dying? They're going to trust me to do the right thing for them, and I don't have an answer. President Trump mentioned hydroxychloroquine, and then that got shot down immediately. And so I was praying. I laid down for a cat nap between patients. I woke up convinced that God had given me a winning strategy. And you know what? A week later, I had to try it out on my first two patients. And for every patient, it's working. It's what Japan has stumbled on and what Taiwan has stumbled on, an inhaled steroid. They're using a different one than I'm using. The one I'm using, I think, is better. Inhaled budesonide with a nebulizer treatment. I'm also giving an antibiotic that'll cover walking pneumonia and other pneumonias called clarithromycin. And I also give zinc because that interferes with virus multiplication. But the silver bullet is inhaled steroids. And the reason I use inhaled instead of IV is because if you give a steroid IV as a shot in the muscle that goes total body through the bloodstream or as pills that goes total body, you're turning down the immune system, the ability to fight infection. Every time you're dialing down the ability to heal. But if you use it as a targeted source, it's like one of my sons is a firefighter. If you target, they shoot the fire extinguisher at the source of the fire, at the base of the fire, and all the flames go out. This is like targeting the source of the inflammatory chemicals at the source, and all the fiery flames of inflammation are put out at the source with a nebulizer treatment. The reason I'm using a nebulizer is if you use an inhaler, 90% of the medicine never gets to where you need it. Research shows that.
Okay.
But a nebulizer works.
Okay. So I'm thrilled. This is fabulous, fabulous news. So what is the reason, first of all, you're aware of this, I know, that there's great pushing in this country. It seems to just hold off, stay home, wait for the vaccine. When you discover something like this, what do you do as a doctor when you've discovered a new treatment? How do you let other doctors know? How do you let the government know?
Debbie, I'm doing everything I can. That's why I stayed here an extra day so I could be on the news with you. So we can let the good people of Dallas know that we have solutions to this problem already. And last Friday, I got a call from Ted Cruz's office. He's heard about it. So he reached out to me. And so his chief of staff and another member called me, and we had a 30-minute call. I've written a paper about this. We cite 51 articles that are tried and true from established journals, well-recognized journals, supporting what we're doing. And so we have sent that unpublished paper to Senator Cruz's office already. So he's responsible for the information he has now, and now everybody knows he has it.
Yes,
but,
they do.
But also, I expect next week, I understand that President Trump will also have my unpublished paper. We're, of course, going to publish it, but why wait 6 months till it gets published? Let me tell you something else, Debbie. This inhaled budesonide against COVID is currently being studied by the NIH now. Their study will be out in October. They somehow, I don't know if they heard what I was doing, but their study will be over in October. But it's set up for failure at the start, and let me tell you how. Early detection and early treatment. That's common sense. That's the American healthcare system.
Sure.
What we're getting is what communist China has forced on the whole world. Don't wait until you're a breath away from death. Wait till the house is burned two-thirds down and then seek help.
This is what NIH is doing. You're saying.
This is what the CDC is telling us to do, and every authority is telling us don't seek help unless if you've got mild to moderate symptoms. Wait till you have severe symptoms. I'm getting calls from people who go to the ER because they feel bad, and they're sent home with a positive test saying take Tylenol and tough it out at home. That is the standard of care that's being put out. That's a terrible plan for any health care problem, especially one that can kill you. And for 20% of the people, this is a killer. And we don't know who that 20% is, but if they have symptoms, we have something we can do about it. So the NIH is studying it. Let me tell you who else is. The country of France, which has lost over 30,000 people to this.
Yeah.
And Spain has said that they're going to study inhaled budesonide against COVID-19. They haven't set their start date yet. And last week, the University of Oxford announced that they're going to study inhaled budesonide against COVID. Whether they set the study up for failure like the NIH has done, where they're going to wait until someone – the criteria by the NIH is you have to have pneumonia and be in the ICU and be on a ventilator before they'll even give you this.
I want to jump in. So this treatment you're describing, when you – NIH is somewhere aware that you've been using it and have had success with patients and that you're ascribing the same success in these other countries you've mentioned – so why would the NIH recognize what you're claiming? Why would they test it by waiting until someone who is severely ill in the hospital? What is the reason not to test it in the way that you have been, which is early on for symptoms?
Why are we doing anything that we're doing right now, Debbie?
I'm
just saying what they did in Italy was social distancing, wear a mask, shut down everything. How did that work? Let's talk about what works. Which is what I'm doing, which is what they're doing in Japan and Singapore and Taiwan, and that's early detection. It's good that we're doing mass testing now. I'm telling you, at the ER that I am associated with, they're doing testing now. They didn't have the ability to do the testing in March. We couldn't. We were scrambling to try to find where we could even send people to get tested in March. The reason the numbers are going up is that we're having 100 times the amount of tests being done right now.
And that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. That's what they're doing in those countries, the early detection. Hey, we do that we don't wait. I've actually done biopsies on people who had abnormal mammograms, and during the biopsy, I've removed the whole cancer, and the person was cured with early detection. We don't say, wait till you got stage 4 cancer, and then seek help. We don't do that with any other disease. I don't know why this is being forced on us, but it's un-American. And as far as our American,
it's cruel to people.
People are dying. That's pretty cool. And beyond that, it's crazy right now that if you get COVID, you get put in the hospital, your family can't be there to be your advocate.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've, as a doctor, have had loved ones in the hospital, and they hang something. My daughter was pregnant. They hang something. I say, what are you giving her? It's half in her already. And they tell me, and I said, that's not for her. And it's for the room next door. You don't have an advocate in the room with you.
Here, Dr. Bartlett.
Well, I'm telling you the truth. A family member in the room is an advocate that you are not allowed to have right now. And if you'll look at what's going on right now, if we wanted to go with science, a scientific fact by definition is observable and reproducible.
Yeah.
And so when I started hearing people say, I feel better with inhaled budesonide, that was something that I'd never heard before. I observed it, and it's reproducible. But the decisions that are made that are being forced on us, for 20 years, we'd see there's an epidemic in China, and we'd see them walking, rolling with people walking the streets with masks. It wasn't working for them then. I don't know why it's being forced on the whole world now, that kind of thinking. Something that's working in Japan and Singapore and is working with my patients, we should be focused on science and facts instead of fear.
There's some sort of manipulation toward encouraging America to just wait it out for a vaccine. I don't know if it's the pharmaceutical companies, if it's individuals in power invested in the pharmaceutical companies, but who would be telling Americans, we'd rather you die because we want you to wait for a vaccine?
It seems like people are willing to sacrifice others for an agenda. It seems that way to me because we have some solutions already that are working. There's a track record of success by many doctors in Texas. And Texas is standing out compared to other states, if you look, as far as the survival rate. But I think there is a lot of political motivation behind the decisions that are being made right now.
Okay, well, I do too, and I'm deeply troubled by them because I do. Well, you don't have to agree with my assessment, but I'll tell you where my concern is. I think that in the first slide today, I talked about the headlines and that, you know, panic porn. I think there's a great agenda on the part of some in this country and many in the media that want to keep the economy damaged because of the results of the coronavirus, want to keep Americans afraid in their homes. All of that works against the reelection of President Trump.
Be afraid, be very afraid, because there's a pandemic. Oh, by the way, Debbie, we had a pandemic in 2009. It was the H1N1. And you know what? The flu strain that's going around right now is H1N1. Our patients that have the flu are having H1N1. We're not focused on that at all. It's not as big a deal as they thought it was. But you know what? I just saw an article that Anthony Fauci is warning us that we might have a new pandemic coming of H1N1 from China. It's already here. That's the strain that's already here. A lot of things that are being spoken, there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of things that are being blown out of proportion. And we have good news today. I'm here to tell you the good
news. Great news. I know. It's really good.
Yes. Look at those countries. Look at my results. I believe Dr. Lozano is doing the right thing as well.
And yet, it's just like we met this wall of opposition from the media and, frankly, the pharmacy companies are holding out hope for a vaccine.
Well, you know, they say that there was a concern about a shortage of hydroxychloroquine. Let me tell you, budesonide, inhaled steroid that's super cheap and readily available, pre-mixed, pre-measured. Nobody's going to make any money off of it. Is that every pharmacy, there is an abundance of it. There will never be a shortage. And so that accusation will not be valid.
Can't trip you up that way.
No.
Okay.
but they could do a study and set it up for failure and announce it in October.
That is truly astonishing. It would be set up in a way that they're going to use it after people are already so sick that obviously it reduces. They would
not good medicine.
No, not good medicine. So what is your sense about if you do what you're describing, early testing and all that, what is your sense about the importance of masks, about the everyday use of masks?
You know, I'm going to pivot off of that because that's what they did in Italy in over 30,000 deaths. That's what they did in France, over 30,000 deaths. That's what they did in Spain, 30,000 deaths. In New York, parroted that, 30,000 deaths. Let's go with a winning strategy of early detection and early treatment with a winning strategy of a successful treatment. And that's what we have. We have an effective treatment that's cost-effective, readily available at every pharmacy, and so there are several ways to treat this. There's several ways to treat the flu. You know, if I told you the reason we're going to shut down the country, shut down, hairdressers will not be able to have their salons open, we're going to shut down everybody's business.
Non-essential business.
Non-essential business, and we're going to start doing this craziness because tens of thousands are dying from a respiratory viral illness that's very contagious. Oh, that's the flu. Over 80,000 a year die from the flu, but we've never worn masks to protect people before. We've never insisted on that to save American lives. We have something that works. You know, if you look on the internet, you'll see in Japan they're still crawling all over at each other at sushi bars, acting normal. And they have less than 1,000 that have died, over 121 million people. This social distancing thing is not what is saving them.
That was my next question on social distancing, because there have been many people challenging masks and social distancing, really from a political perspective, a feeling there's just too much control coming out of the government based on a health problem. And, you know, and with penalties, actual penalties for business owners and personal people's lives, and the whole surrender of our economy, the people losing businesses. And you just, I mean, it seems like those things should have been decided, doctors giving advice and people getting to decide themselves. But there's been a mandatory feel about this that's alarming people.
Yeah, you have, when you have the government saying, I know more about what's good for your health than your doctor who knows you and your family, that's socialism. That's communism, and that's what we've seen not be a good idea in China. We were all in horror watching the apocalypse happen in China. People were dropping in the streets. Everybody saw that. And then we saw it, the wave spread across Italy to France to Spain and then to our country. And, you know, the strategy they were using is the same strategy they're still recommending and now fining people possibly for not wearing a mask and social distancing. That strategy didn't work in any of those places, but we have some winning strategies that are working in other parts of the world, and that I'm also that's now being studied and about to be studied by the University of Oxford and the country of Spain. We should go with the winning strategies.
I'm in favor of the winning strategy. I also wish, well, I'm glad that you were able to come today and talk about all this. I really wish there were more of a national broadcasting system. It seems like doctors around the country, if you had more and more doctors doing what you're doing, you would end up where people just would be less alarmed. Fewer people would be worried. More doctors are doing what you're doing. The numbers would have to dissipate in terms of death rates and hospitalization rates. And that just seems like the most obvious thing. So I know you said you went to, you're hoping to see, have President Trump see this. Taking a Ted Cruz, I love that he knows about
U.S. Representative Babin. My phone's been blowing up with a few phone calls.
Okay.
I had U.S. Representative Babin, who's been calling and texting me regularly from Texas. And I got a call the other day. I went to Texas Tech. And at Texas Tech, I went to the undergraduate, got my degree in medical technology in the first class of medical technology there, where we grow viruses and bacteria, and we study that, and we do the root testing. And then I went to medical school there. And then I did my surgery residency there. So I'm a Texas Techer. So my phone blows up, and a guy calls me, and he says, this is Kent Hance. Wow, he was the chancellor of Texas Tech. And I'm stuttering and fumbling to talk to him. I can't believe. Can I call you Richard? Yes, sir. And so he knows about this treatment. So I'm letting you know who knows about this, and we'll see what happens with it. But Kent Hance knows, Representative Babin knows, Ted Cruz has a paper. I believe it'll get to President Trump. I know there's a Star Parker who is with the White House, and she has my information. So we'll see who does something with this.
Okay. Star Parker of CURE, of the Center for Urban – no.
Star Parker with the government has a connection with the administration.
She was on my show on Tuesday. That's kind of funny. Okay,
interesting.
Anyway. Yes. Okay. So let me ask you this. So if we were describing working nationally adopted, so we had testing.
Our country would be wide open again.
Well, the other question is, would there be a need for a vaccine then?
No. And is there a need for a vaccine right now with the same pandemic in Taiwan and Japan and Singapore and Iceland? Iceland's only had 10 die during this whole pandemic. That's a big, you know, okay, 7 in Taiwan. That's a minivan going down Central Expressway. When you see a minivan, everybody that's died in a country of over 24 million, they don't need...
And closely, densely packed country.
Right. And so let's talk about the vaccine for a second, Debbie.
Yeah.
This is information people need to know. This is a rapidly mutating virus. In Iceland, they broke it down, the DNA of the virus, and they found 243 mutations already. And that was in April. But that's all right. We have an answer for it. There's several ways to treat this. I'm not scared of COVID anymore. Nobody else should be scared of COVID.
I would not either. Go ahead.
You should not be scared of COVID anymore. I'm telling you, don't be scared of COVID. There are some ways to treat it. If your doctor won't treat you, find another doctor. But we're in America, and there is a solution. There's several solutions for this. I'm talking about one of them. Rapidly mutating virus. A vaccine is not going to be the solution. This is a coronavirus. It goes around every year, the common cold. We get flu vaccines every year, and at best it covers 40%. And so that's not 100% success rate, and you have to get it every year. If they're going to make this vaccine, it's not going to be a one-time shot.
That was my last question.
And, by the way, the people like Anthony Fauci and Birx who brag that they've been working on a vaccine for AIDS for 40 years, and they have not been successful because
right.
it's a rapidly mutating virus, parallel to what we have now. So misinformation is out there being sent to doctors right now that we're not worried about a vaccine being made because this isn't changing much. The fact is that they're not going to get, unless they do some research, 243 mutations in a study in Iceland already. And so you're not going to be able to get a handle on this and make a safe, effective vaccine. Let's talk about vaccines in general, Debbie. When they had the race for the polio vaccine, Polio, An American Story, is a book that's out in 2005. The author was our keynote speaker for the Texas Medical Association, and he explained that thousands died from the vaccine, and tens of thousands were paralyzed or debilitated from the vaccine.
Yeah.
We don't want to speed at warp speed towards a vaccine and force it on the American people when we don't, first of all, don't need it, and we need to make sure we don't miss any of the steps that prove that it's safe.
Yeah, the side effects. So I want to make clear one particular point. 243 mutations of this means
that.
Yeah, nice.
It's so changing. It's changing. Trying to get a handle on it and make a vaccine.
Say the vaccine being looked at right now, we're trying to develop now, even if they made it, was perfectly effective as to the current COVID-19 problem, would not necessarily be effective for all of the rest of the mutations. Is that correct?
Yes. And the beautiful thing about the treatment that I'm using is that no matter how many times it mutates, it's universally going to work because it decreases the inflammation. It's a respiratory anti-inflammatory solution for a respiratory inflammatory problem. And I've had people go through many adventures. Each person's COVID story is different. But thank you, Jesus, all of them have lived. None of them have died. And I am ecstatic. I would think that any American person would be excited about it.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Barlow, this is a fabulous – first of all, I'm so glad we connected an interesting kind of at a political meeting, but I'm so glad we connected so that you can come in. I love all the information you shared. If people want to – is there a place they can read right now more about what you're doing? Is it something they can go to or they have to wait for your paper? Or?
Have them contact you, and I'll send you a copy of my own published paper with all the references.
That's
and you'll
great.
Have, you will have what President Trump will have in his hand next week. You will have what Senator Cruz has in his hand. Whether he reads it or not and what he does with it is up to him. But you're going to have what he has, and it's working.
And if you want to get that, email me at americakimmychalk@gmail.com, americakimmychalk@gmail.com. I will happily forward the paper once I receive it from Dr. Richard Barlow. Sir, thank you so much for coming in. This is fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. It's a good day to be in Texas.
It is a good day to be in Texas.
That was amazing. Don't forget to contact Debbie Georgia Tosi, who was the interviewer, at americacanwetalk@gmail.com if you want a copy of his paper, which is wonderful. Now, there are many issues that surround COVID, and I am going to play for you some of the most important. And so where should we start? With the masks. Let's start with the masks, okay? I'd like to start with the test, but we're going to start with the masks. And I'm going to go to an email that I sent to everybody on my email list, and it talks about the World Health Organization's reasons you shouldn't wear a mask. Isn't that amazing? Stick with me while I look for this. I would have looked for it earlier, but I didn't want to do anything to disrupt that very important interview. Hold on. Do-do-do-do-do. Maybe it's the Who Cares About Facts email. Let's see. Okay. No, it's not that one. Those are other important facts. Oh, let me send you to Peggy Hall of, what is her website? TheHealthyAmerican.org. I believe that's it, TheHealthyAmerican.org. She has a lot of actions you can take. and Ingrid Castle interviewed her, and I will put that interview with Peggy Hall in the comments area. I want you to refer to the comments area underneath this screen because it will have a lot of information that you need to hear. Another thing, now that's, I'm not worried that that's going to be lost or I would play that interview for you. Another very important interview that I, again, I'm not worried that it will be lost, but it's really important. Sherry Saunders, and she explains about the masks, but most importantly, about why you can't breathe once you take the mask off. Because I told her I was having trouble breathing when I took the mask off, and she explained scientifically why that is. And that is very interesting, and I must implore you to listen to that. The second half of that interview is right here in New York City. The 100% of patients that two nurses reported about, one of them had served in two hospitals, another in one hospital in New York City, and 100% of their patients had died on the respirators. Okay, and one of the nurses was saying she had patients in their 20s, 30s, 40s, not just elderly people who might be dying from other complications. Okay, so these respirators are deadly. And the woman who counsels one of the nurses who did speak out is my guest for the second half of that interview with Sherry Saunders about the masks. But something that I read today was that emergency rooms are getting patients in now with fungus in their lungs from breathing in the CO2 that they're breathing out. Well, they're breathing it right back in. They're not breathing in oxygen. They're breathing in CO2, and the emergency rooms are getting patients with fungus in their lungs. Okay, so listen to Sherry's interview. Take that comment I just made about fungus in the lungs into consideration, and that's a lot of information you'll have right there. Now, I also made a recording the other day before it disappeared of Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan, who are both mask experts regarding masks in the workplace. I don't know about you, but I am seeing people who are working outdoors in very hot conditions, indoors, doing a lot of running around like waitresses. I'm very concerned about these people. I'm even more concerned about the little children. I'm seeing children around 4 or 5 years old with masks. I saw a child the other day who was 12 years old who was beet red from wearing a mask. He was not running. He was not exerting himself. He was just trying to breathe. And he was beet red and a whopping 12 years old, okay? And it wasn't a sunburn. The rest of him was not red, just his face, okay? Let's see what else. Okay, so let me read you if I have it in this email. No, I think I know where I have it. I think I can get it here. Yes, this is it. This is the World Health Organization's, I'll read it to you. It says, here is a page of the World Health Organization, WHO, latest recommendations for not wearing a mask. Not wearing a mask. Potential harms / disadvantages. And then I direct you also to listen to Peggy Hall on Ingrid's program, which I will put in the comments area. But it says, the likely disadvantages of the use of masks by healthy people in the general public include potential increased risk of self-contamination due to the manipulation of a face mask and subsequently touching eyes with contaminated hands. 2. Potential self-contamination that can occur if non-medical masks are not changed when wet or soiled. This can create favorable conditions for a microorganism to amplify. 3. potential headache and or breathing difficulties, depending on type of mask used. 4, potential development of facial skin lesions, irritant dermatitis, or worsening acne when used frequently for long hours. Next, difficulty with communicating clearly. Next, potential discomfort. Next, a false sense of security leading to potentially lower adherence to other critical preventative measures such as physical distancing and hand hygiene. Next, poor compliance with mask wearing. Poor compliance with mask wearing in particular by young children. Waste management issues. Improper mask disposal leading to increased litter in public places. Risk of contamination to street cleaners and environment hazard. Difficulty communicating for deaf persons who rely on lip reading. Disadvantages for or difficulty wearing them, especially for children developmentally challenged. Developmentally challenged persons, those with mental illness, elderly persons with cognitive impairment, those with asthma or chronic respiratory or breathing problems, those who have had facial trauma or recent oral maxillofacial surgery, and those living in hot and humid environments. Well, where I am today, it is over 90 degrees. Okay, so I don't know what the humidity reading is, but I know it's extremely hot, and yet people are wearing masks. I see them wearing masks, so I'm needless to say, I'm concerned about them. You may have heard me talk about a waitress we had who served us at the beginning of her shift, and by the time we got the check, that this woman looked like she was going to pass out. I was really concerned about her. Everybody stayed, took pictures, distributed presents. And when we went out of the restaurant, there was an emergency vehicle, actually several, outside, one with their doors wide open, ready to receive someone. And I would not be surprised if that was our waitress. She really did not look up to doing anything but sitting with her mask off and breathing deeply. That's about all that she was good for by the time we left. And if she didn't do that, it very well could have been her. But as I say, when you take the mask off, you also can't breathe as you did. And this is where Sherry's interview is so critical. Okay. This is an interesting point. Do you realize that operating rooms add pump in oxygen for surgeons to compensate for the mask? The surgeons put the masks on to keep anything from their face from flying into the body while they're operating, and the hospital pumps oxygen into those rooms so that they have good cognitive function, for one, and don't pass out, for two. Yes, the White House made a list of all the times Dr. Fauci has been wrong on the coronavirus, and that's in the Daily Beast. I'll put that in the comment area. And good luck opening the link. I honestly have not been able to read it because I couldn't open the link. I would like to also tell you that Dr. Leonard Caldwell made many important points in my interview with him, which I will also put in the comments area. One of them was the importance of touching. So this whole 6 feet apart isolation is a very bad thing because your immunity is boosted when you do touch. And he tells you the percentage of immunity boost you receive by shaking a hand, hugging someone, and even patting someone on the back. All of these improve your immune function. Isn't that interesting? He also says that the COVID test where they shove it deep up your nose because they are putting the chip is in the test. He said there's no other reason they would have to put it so far into your body unless it had the chip in it. Everyone's thinking the chip is in the vaccine. He contends the chip is in the test. He also talks about, like you heard Dr. Bartlett talk about, a cure for COVID. Dr. Leonard Caldwell also gives you a cure for COVID, which is 100% effective. So here you have two completely different cures, two affordable cures beyond hydroxychloroquine, and they are 100% effective each. Well, we don't have a problem with COVID. We have a problem with people trying to implement, destroy our economy and not let us get back to work until a vaccine. And the vaccine, it could not be more dangerous, as outlined by Sandy Leneux, who is a vaccine critic and expert par excellence. And she reviews all the vaccines that have been proposed for COVID. And the bottom line is that they will alter your DNA not just once, but into perpetuity. And that is quite alarming. It is unlike any vaccine to date. Okay. So let's see what I will put that in the comments area. So I just read you the WHO's list of recommendations for not wearing a mask as potentially harmful and disadvantageous. And let's see. Okay. So. I just shared a whole bunch of information that is critical, and all the references that I am not concerned about disappearing, I will put in the comments area. But let me say to you, if you find something, I have to also, before I leave you, let you know I will be putting an interview with Virginia Young from last Saturday. At 7 p.m. on Saturdays, I have a show called Vaccine Free America, and I interviewed Virginia Young because I had read that an infant had been removed from their parents, and the mother did not test positive for COVID the first time in the hospital, and then before she left the hospital, she did. They tested her again, and she did test positive, and they removed her infant child. Now, this is a critical time in the mother-child bonding and the uptake of breast milk. That is important that the child is put directly on the breast after being born and get everything flowing. You can't let time elapse as this now has, and the only immunity for children is breast milk. That's it, right through the first 3 years of life. And that's, of course, when they give the mother load of vaccines. And vaccines are detrimental in every regard. I could really go into that for many hours, but I will refrain this once. Okay. So let me see what else I have to share with you. Virginia Young was talking about Texas and how this is standard practice to now test the people for COVID and separate families. And this is not an isolated incident, as the article would infer. And as Lisa Haven's report would imply, that this is the case. No, this is the practice. Now, there's so much wrong with the tests themselves. The very first video I watched about it said that the test causes cancer. the fact of the matter is the test is the door opener to all these other atrocities, which could include your child being taken away, child confiscation, or, and I have to tell you, if foster care is the only place they can put them, the majority of children who are trafficked have been taken from foster care. So this is a dire scenario. Please do not think of it as less than dire. COVID is not dire, as you just heard Dr. Bartlett say. It is not dire at all. We should all relax and know that there is, in fact, a cure. So, as I say, his video was removed from Facebook. So many important videos are being blocked by Facebook. His was removed. Others have been blocked. But it still remained on YouTube, which is amazing, and I'll tell you why. I went through my blog the other day, and a little at a time, I've been removing YouTube videos that have been removed. So the video on my blog. Well, I was on YouTube going through all the channels I have a subscription to. I had subscribed to 50 channels, and 35 had been removed. I now only am subscribed to 15 channels because 35 of those channels have been removed. Now, one of them is the one I was talking about, which was reporting on the contamination, which, by the way, the mainstream media has reported many times on the contaminated tests. Certainly many have reported on the unreliability of the tests, not the least of whom would be the president of Tanzania, who, by the way, is a scientist, and who, by the way, has told everyone in his country to take off their masks. But another leader of an African country kicked the WHO out of his country and was found dead not shortly thereafter. I mean, shortly thereafter. And I don't have that article that I can readily reference. I wish I did. But anyway, if I can find it, I will put that also in the comments area. See what else. So many issues involved here between child confiscation, the masks themselves, tracing, tracking. I would recommend that everybody leave your cell phone home when you go out. Treat it like it's part of your house, like a normal phone. Just leave it at home. Don't be part of this whole tracking, tracing. And if you do take it with you, make sure it's in some kind of a protected sleeve. Some people might recommend aluminum foil, wrapping it in aluminum foil. Others have the dollar vigilante. He, on his website, he recommends backpacks that cannot be seen through with electronic devices, and also a sleeve for your phone. I personally have a lead cover on my phone. It doesn't cover the whole phone, though. So I would probably be better off with what he's recommending on the dollarvigilante, I believe, .com. I haven't checked it out yet, but he did show it on the screen. Let's see what else. So a plain truth, APLANE truth, as one word. That is a channel I had really looked forward to going through each and every video on that channel. I have found them very reliable, very informed. And if you know of another, you know, channel, another forum that they have gone to, like BitChute or Vimeo is much like YouTube, or Brighteon, or there are many. If you know where Aplane Truth, as one word, APLANE Truth, has gone to, or Aplane Truth for you has gone to, please let me know. Put that in the comments area, because that's one channel in particular I really regret having lost. And we've all lost it, you know, not just me, it's everybody's loss. Okay, so, yes, in New York State, so many things are transpiring. There are so many headlines just today that I am stupefied at what's going on all at once. If you could just give me a second while I pull up my page, okay? I need two hands.
Okay.
One thing that I have shared is State Bar Group calls for mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations regardless of objections. New York Law Journal published that at law.com. Well, I don't know. New Yorkers don't realize that the governor did not just get a 30-day executive order, take charge, no need for legislature. It wasn't for a month. It was for an entire year. He can make executive orders. And according to an interview that I beseech all New Yorkers to listen to with David DiPietro, which I will also put in the comments area, if you're from New York, if you really want to know what's going on in this state, you will be amazed if you listen to this interview with Assemblyman DiPietro. Believe me. But in any event, although the governor now has exclusive authority, he turned to the Bar Association to say, back me up on mandatory COVID. I guess he wanted one body to back him up. Well, there was a large protest outside of the New York State Bar Association, and they did not come to a resolution that day. And they said they would reconvene in November. Well, this is a lot earlier than November, isn't it? We are now in July, and the State Bar Group calls for mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations regardless of objections. So we lost. You don't have to wait for November. It's a done deal. They have given their seal of approval. Now, of course, this isn't legislated, but the legislature is not in session. They are on call should they be needed, but they are not needed because they have given over all of their authority to the governor through April of 2021. I hope I'm clear about that. Now, the first thing he said after he was given this authority is that New Yorkers would be the guinea pigs for the COVID vaccine, and now the State Bar is backing him up. Okay, so this is not a comfortable place to be, New York, right now. Okay, so let me go to another page to get more headlines that you deserve to hear. Okie doke. Maybe it's over here.
Bear with me, please. Going as fast as I can. Okay, and
okay, I'm going to my mayor page. I'm running for mayor for a vaccine-free NYC. Make it a reality. I think it is a sin to offer vaccines to anyone. I think that this is a sinful thing to do. They are poisonous, and it's homicide, and it's illegal as homicide. I don't even know what we're talking about. Why is this conversation continuing? I'll tell you why. That's their lie, safe and effective. That's their lie, and they're sticking to it. And they've got the media and the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, which allows them to lie to us using any form of media. And they can control us, even though this is homicide, you know? So I make no bones about it. This is couldn't be worse than it is, vaccines. Could not be worse. Now, they've come out with a new way to harm us, but they're all vaccines. It shouldn't be separate from the rest. They're all harming us. They're all making us infertile. I am to understand one-third of the girls who've received Gardasil are sterile, and the American College of Pediatricians came out and said that and was severely slapped around. But they took that chance. Why did they take that chance? Even though they knew there were 100 known negative reactions, including death, for the girl herself, to the Gardasil vaccine, why did they speak out about sterility? Well, they're the American College of Pediatricians. No babies, no business. So it was self-serving, but nonetheless, they did say it. And they got, as I say, slapped around. Okay, now, in terms of the COVID test, and its unreliability, nonetheless, Kentucky couple fit with ankle monitors placed on house arrest for refusing to sign quarantine documents. Okay, that's where it's coming to. Reopening schools in Denmark did not worsen outbreak, data shows. What are they going to do with our children here? I saw a report on that, which I cannot share with you because I don't, you know, I didn't save it. I should have. If I saved everything that was important, I guess I would have quite the archive. But this particular program showed what children are going to return to school. It's about, as you enter school, you put this disinfectant on your hands. Well, this is a large part alcohol, and this will harm the liver. And I understand alcoholics who are using this are returning to the bottle because it reawakens your need for alcohol. And, you know, that's if you are an alcoholic. Not, I assume, for the rest of us. But nonetheless, it does harm to the liver. Okay, so you enter school. Now they have lines that show you what 6 feet apart is so that you stay 6 feet apart as you walk through the schools. In the same report, they talked about children having desks separated significantly. I've seen a picture where they have plastic shields from floor to ceiling between the desks. But this was not in this report. They continue to say that public spaces will be closed. The library, the cafeteria, and the playground will be closed. Another report by Joe Imbriano showed us that they're installing 10-foot fences around the school. And many other reports alluded to or showed people who were implementing 5G in the schools while everybody was on lockdown and while the schools themselves were closed. So there's all of that information. Okay. Let's see what else I can share with you. I'm sure there's more. This is very important, and if you wear a mask, please consider this. I've told you this already, but I'm going to tell you again. People are showing up in emergencies with fungal lung infections from the mask. Okay? All right, now I got that from EBH.club. All right, now, breathing bacteria keeps me safe. Well, that's a picture that says that, and no doubt it ties directly into the fungal infections. Now, oh, this is a very important meme. Everywhere you see the word mask right now, in 6 months or so, it's going to be replaced with the word vaccine. I'm sure they're correct. And another, Vernon Coleman, who's a doctor who's been speaking out for a very long time, he says mask wearers are collaborators who could destroy all of us. Well, I agree. Now, I have a blog here on brightfuture83.wordpress.com, It says, stop. Oh, I don't know what this noise is. Oh, it's my, okay. It says, stop COVID tests to stop child confiscation. I have many blogs, all of whom you must look at. One of them is all the interviews I've done on COVID-19. Recently, as I say, I've been uploading other people's interviews just so they don't disappear, and they're really important. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. All we have to do is save these interviews, and often they'll say, please mirror this, and I'm proud to do it. You know, they have an important show and important information that may wake people up. We are racing against time, literally racing against time. Either people will wake up and will refuse to comply with a deprivation of oxygen, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's right. Life. Oxygen is life. So they are cutting us to the quick. And in history, they have also used these masks. This is not new. Now, the swine, oh, this is another thing that swine flu vaccine side effects so bad that children were like schizophrenics. Okay, and I'm going to do an interview with Virginia Young about hallucinations from vaccines. But in fact, if you received the flu shot, you are far more likely to test positive for COVID. And that's very important to know. Okay, also, So I have a lot of good information in the blogs, but the ones in particular I will point you to are tinyurl.com/CPS on steroids, tinyurl.com/HR6666, which alerts you to the fact that that's the tracing tracking bill, that it is already within HR 6800, and HR 6800 has already passed the House of Representatives. Okay? So it's tinyurl.com/HR6666. I would also recommend you listen to the nurses, the doctors, the funeral directors who are saying they're murdering people in New York City. And everything time someone dies, it's from COVID. And the funeral directors themselves are saying that's impossible, just impossible. And of course it is. But you can find the nurses speaking out and the funeral directors speaking out and legislators themselves in Italy. Two legislators have come out swinging, saying this is false. And I applaud them. In fact, Representative Posey himself sent me the woman who was speaking out, Sarah Cundyle or something like that. Very important speech. But another representative speaking plain truth, you know. And you know the truth when you hear it. Boy, does it sound different from the garbage we get on television. And by the way, talking about television, I utilize local public access television. And I have to tell you, I tripped into one of my own shows on TV. Now, I produced the action that I videotaped, and I edited it, and I uploaded it. And I was, you know, it's my production, right? I know my production. And I would have given it a 3. Because I have a lot much better production, okay? But when I saw it on TV, it was a 14. It was through the roof. You don't get this level of truth ever on television. So I was absolutely dumbstruck by my own production because it was on television. I implore you to go to Video University, look up directories, and find your local public access television, videouniversity.com. Find your local station. It's a free service. So please utilize it and reach the disinformed television viewing public. I implore you to do this. It is the most effective thing I've ever done. For a while, actually, I was not able to air anything. But now, again, I am. And I'm so grateful to be back being able to educate people. This, I mean, the grossly disinformed. If you're on the internet and you don't know there's something wrong with vaccines, there is something wrong with you. But if you watch television for your information and you don't know there's something wrong with vaccines and the rest of it, the tests, the masks, the tracing, you know, well, they try to make these evil things fantastic. We should all be so grateful, right? So you are terribly misinformed. And, you know, as all the parents I've interviewed with damaged children, they truly didn't know. They had no idea. But then the internet was not big back when. Now it is. So if you still insist on watching the television, you're going to be like we were, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, before we were on the internet. You're going to be as ignorant as we were. You're going to be making the same mistakes as we did. And we literally don't have time for that. So please, if you are awake and aware, if you are vaccine aware, please use the local public access television in your area. And if you need productions, I have 72 hour-long productions, okay? All from actions we've taken before we couldn't assemble. You know, they know what they're doing by keeping us from assembling, by keeping our mouths shut with the masks. They're doing this because we're getting vocal. People are waking up, and this doesn't serve their agenda. And, of course, their agenda is to injure, sterilize, kill. That's about it. I don't think it's a bigger agenda than that. Injure, sterilize, kill. Oh, and bilk us of every last dime while they're doing it. Okay, I think I've covered the gamut. All right, now that's about it. That's about all I have to share with you. I was very upset that this video had been taken off while I was taping another one. You know, I had two that I was going to tape, and while I was taping one, they took down this one. And luckily, thanks to Natural News, I have found it again and shared it with you. But there's so much more that I will be sharing with you. If you look in the comments area, I will not waste your time. Only the most important things will I be sharing and directing your attention to. But at the end of the day, the separation of the families, the removal of the infants and the children is, you know, it's dire. It's dire. And you have to wonder, what is the big push for CPS on steroids? Is it a lack of adrenochrome? You know, do they want more? I don't think they need more sex. I don't think they need more organs. They got plenty of them. But maybe they need more adrenochrome, and maybe that's what it's all about. And you'll have to look that up on your own, because that's a huge issue all to itself. Anyway, say a prayer. Be mindful, you know. Say a prayer. Keep in prayer, because God helps those who help themselves. So be active. Get involved. Educate. Activate. Advocate. But also say a prayer, because we need all the help we can get. And God helps those who help themselves. Okay, goodbye for now. Sally L. Cordy signing off for Public Advocate Radio. And may the tracers not show up at your door.